Well, this month, one of the world's biggest and most valuable artificial intelligence companies, Anthropic, made an extraordinary call. It appealed to rivals to pause work on the technology. The company warned in a blog post that humanity is approaching a point where it could lose control of the technology that it is racing to build. In Australia, the federal government has signed a memorandum of understanding with Anthropic, prompting questions about how well prepared our country is for the rise of AI, including from a former Labor cabinet minister. Professor Jeannie Patterson is the co-director of the Centre for AI and Digital Ethics at the University of Melbourne. She was also previously appointed by the Albanese government to an advisory panel on artificial intelligence. So I'm very pleased to say that Jeannie Patterson joins me now. Professor, this is quite an extraordinary statement. So this is Anthropic effectively calling for a treaty, a ceasefire on developing AI. What do you make of that?
Well, it's surprising, but not altogether. Remember that OpenAI is about to go public. It's about to have a fundraising through issuing shares in its company. And that sort of commercial pressure is going to change the way that these AI providers operate quite significantly. And it's thought that OpenAI will come under pressure from shareholders, and that might change the way they do business. For Anthropic, that holds itself out as the sort of ethical provider, it has both developed Mythos, which is very powerful, but also it itself will fill at some point the pressure for fundraising. So in a way, it's both a commercial decision, I suspect, as well as an existential one.
Are there any countries around the world that are effectively legislating when it comes to the ethics of AI, or is everyone kind of scratching their heads still at the moment?
Well, the EU has its EU AI Act, and there was discussion in 2024 about whether Australia should follow that model. The problem with an act directed at AI is, as Mythos demonstrate, the AI is probably changing faster than a single piece of legislation can keep up with. And in fact, the trend we're seeing around the world is to strengthen sectoral regulators, so regulators that work in particular industries, but also to provide funding for AI safety, or in the case of the UK, security institutes, which are able to provide the technical expertise to respond to things like Mythos, and indeed also the rise of chatbots engaging in sort of harmful behaviours such as the phenomenon of AI psychosis.
How do we keep a handle on all this when the uses of AI are so broad? Someone could be using it to cheat on an exam or a presentation. Someone could be using it for emotional support. Someone else could be using it to go through large amounts of data to come up with an answer or a development which could aid humanity. How do you deal with all of those different kinds of scenarios?
Well, this is the argument, in fact, for a sectoral approach or a networked approach, as I like to call it, regulatory networks, where you have regulators with expertise in each of those different domains. So medical research, we have the TGA, interactions for personal support, we actually have the Safety Commissioner, we have the ACCC and so on. All of these regulators have expertise in their domain. And the idea of the AI Safety Institute is indeed to provide them with the technical clout, if you like, to be able to interrogate the AI that's being used in particular areas and also to regulate it before it's too late.
You've previously advised the federal government on AI. A former industry minister, Ed Husic, was on Four Corners on Monday night, and he warned that he said he wanted to bring in mandatory guardrails on high-risk AI, but after he was dumped from cabinet, the policy was ditched. This is what he had to say.
We put AI regulation in a too hard basket. We blinked in the face of Donald Trump and decided that we just couldn't get away with our own approach on this.
Did the government blink in the face of Donald Trump?
I think the government certainly paused in the face of Donald Trump, but I don't think that we've thrown away the opportunity to regulate AI. I think we are sleepwalking a little, and it very much depends on what we do going forward. As I said, the funding for the AI Security Institute is thought to be quite low, and there's other things we could be doing, but still keeping with this sectoral approach that I think other countries have adopted. At one point, a number of countries were looking at a uniform or omnibus AI Act, and Even the EU is having to revise its approach. So what I'm saying is regulation and responses to AI are very important, but because AI is so ubiquitous, it's quite reasonable to suggest that we should have an approach of regulatory networks, different regulators responding to the harms supported, as I've said, by technical expertise.